Amen. What a beautiful song. Good morning. Some beautiful singing, which you're going to get the opposite of in just one second. That'll make sense, I promise. Well, good morning. Today we're going to talk about something that's very important to the church, to you and I as believers and followers of Jesus. We, over the next couple of weeks, have got some exciting and some different stuff coming. Our Mission Sunday's coming up before we start our next sermon series, etc. But I love, Lord, I lift your name on high. You think about that. He came to erase our debt. What if I told you today someone was going to erase all your debt? No more mortgage or credit cards, just you're debt-free right now. Oh, wow, that's great. What if the Son of God came from heaven to set your debt free for all of eternity? Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? You think about what he did for you, God himself hanging on that cross for you. Do you love him? Are you? He set you free. He forgave you. Wow. Do you love Jesus? Well, then good. We're going to sing about it in just one moment. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, your debut of me singing at the Hoopston First Church of God. But here's the great part. I'm going to take my mic off. And since we're brothers and sisters in Christ and we support and love one another, you're going to sing with me. So would you stand up this morning, please? And you remember the old song, Oh, How I Love Jesus? Do you guys love him? Yeah. Well, then we're going to sing about it. I'm going to make this easy for you, too. Do we have the words up there? That's okay if we don't. It's Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, How I Love Jesus. Oh, How I Love Jesus because he first loved me. There we go. Perfect. Okay, now I want you to close your eyes. Seriously. I want you to sing to your Lord. I want you to forget the person beside you. I want you to forget me. I'll get us started in just one second, but we're going to sing together. We're going to sing it twice. I want you to sing to your Lord. If you love him, I mean, let's just shake the building, seriously. Sing it like you really love Jesus, like he paid your debt and forgave you and has given you eternal life. You exist because things, including you, were made through him, for him, by him. He's Jesus. He's why we're here. So let's sing to him, all right? Good job, guys. Excellent. And a humongous kudos to Sean for muting me. Thank you. Do you love him? Then turn to John 21. If you have your Bibles or any way or a Bible around you, turn to John chapter 21. And Jesus asked a question to Peter, and really he's asking it to every follower of his who's ever been, including you and I here today, what it means to love him. What it means to love him. In the midst of all going on here, right here, you have Jesus who has come. He has been crucified. Now he has risen again. He's alive. You know, it's Easter has happened. He's alive. And I think this is the third time he's shown himself to his disciples and to so many others. And there's a conversation going on. And Jesus is getting ready to go to heaven. He's not going to see the guys again until glory, until he sees them again in paradise. And so he's leaving them with something very important, which is a reminder for you and I here today. And so here we have Peter. And Jesus says to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he's saying to Peter, do you love me a lot? And guys, there's a message for you and I here today, whether you've sinned once, which is ridiculous. We all sinned and fallen short, and we struggle with it at times, and we all have. He's saying this, I believe, to Peter, because Peter, you guys remember, denied Jesus three times. Peter kind of messed up. And you and I have messed up. We mess up. And yet his grace and love is so incredible, which is why I think he's asking Peter here to remind us what humility we should have, the love for Jesus we should have, the wantingness to serve we should have, because he's so graceful to us. And Jesus is asking Peter right here, do you love me? And Peter, of course, says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs, his sheep, Jesus' people. He said to him again, do you love me? And again, Peter says, you know I love you. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved, which means he was mad, because he said to him the third time, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him a third time, feed my sheep. A third time. He's saying to Peter, if you really love me, other than just saying you love me and calling yourself a Christian and coming to church, then feed my sheep. If you really love me, you will be a servant, is what he's telling Peter, and he's reminding all of us here today. And to be a Christian, to know Jesus, to love him, is to love him more than any earthly object, thing, or person. Yes, you got to love Jesus more than your kids and more than your spouse. Because if you love him, you'll be a great parent and a great spouse, friend, co-worker, person. You got to love Jesus above and beyond anything else. And he says, if you love me, you'll be a servant. Jesus reminds us in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man, even Jesus, God himself, the Son of God, the Messiah, he didn't come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Our lives should be about Jesus and loving and serving him and others. And before we continue to go forward kind of with our message, in John chapter 20 there, I love how Jesus goes on. And you know what Peter did there? He does something that we all do. Which unfortunately, possibly, some of you may have done, and same thing at First Service. As soon as this message started, it's about serving. You're like, well, yeah, somebody else, or all these things, and I would do it, but somebody else. And you know what Peter did here right after this passage where Jesus says, if you love me, feed my sheep three times? Jesus then looks at him and says, well, Peter, and guess what? You are going to, after you serve me for a long time, you're actually going to be crucified. Now, how many of you, if I told you right now, for your faith and being here and being a Christian, we're going to be crucified, would get up and walk out that door? It'd be hard for me. Crucified? Are you kidding? So then Peter does what we do when it comes to our faith so often, when it comes to our giving, when it comes to our serving, our forgiving, our attitude. You know what Peter did? He did what is so inherent to human nature. He said, well, what about John? Because the apostle John was there as well. Well, what about him? And Jesus is like, no, he's not going to be crucified. I'm paraphrasing. He's not going to be crucified. But Jesus says, Peter, here's what you do, buddy. You love me, you worry about you. You serve me. Don't worry about anybody else. What if the whole future of the church depended upon how you serve Christ? Would it be great? Would it be okay? Would it be bad? I don't know. Because it kind of does, and we're going to talk about that today. But I like the end of John chapter 21 there, excuse me, where Jesus just reminds all of us, you and I don't need to worry about anybody else, but just being followers of Jesus, about loving and serving and being what he calls us to be. Guys, the opportunity in Hoopston to serve is always here. And we have many opportunities coming up, of course, here in the next just really matter of weeks with our youth ministry and some other announcements coming and the need to serve and things like that. And really, there's some ministries that we want to do that the town, the community needs that are in the on-deck circle, which I'll use that phrase this time of the year, the on-deck circle, because it's baseball season. And yes, Cubs fans, you were in first place for 3 days. We all know that. Your Cardinals are now in first today and you're not, so life's back to normal. But you were in first place for 3 days, so it's baseball season, it's spring, everybody loves it, but there's some stuff in the on-deck circle, okay? And right now, guys, the impact we can have on Hoopston and our families and lives and souls in the kingdom is incredible, as always, going forward when we are the church. Now, some already were like nervous. Pastor's talking about serving. Oh, boy, we got to serve. Oh, here we go. I got to change diapers in the nursery. No. We'll get to that. I'm not going to ask for anything specific today. And to some of us, listen, guys, when we're serving and following Christ, it's always going to mean, not every day or every week, but at times doing things that are outside of our comfort zone. It's not always going to be able to be in our comfort zone serving. I do things on not a daily, but a weekly basis that are outside of my comfort zone. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I seem like I got it all together, but I don't. Stuff makes me nervous. Stuff is sometimes awkward, conversations and places and stuff. But you know what I remind myself at times? And I want you to be able to remind yourself of this. Jesus was not very comfortable when he was hanging on the cross for you, for your sins, for your life, for your soul. He wasn't comfortable. He didn't want to do that. He chose to do it because he loves you. And so we must choose to serve him, to feed his sheep, if we love him. Now, if you're a guest here or new, we talk about this at times, but at the Church of God here in Hoopston, and again, a couple things we believe that does this apply to you? Well, I'm not a member here. We don't have membership. We believe if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, whether you're Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Church of God, you're a follower of Jesus, you're part of his church. We're all on the same team here, okay? And we believe here at this church, which is us, not the building, we believe we're not here to come to church, we're here to be the church. We're here to be the church 7 days a week, not just Sunday morning, Monday night, Wednesday night, whatever. And we believe this is a big deal. And there's always so many ways to serve, okay? People, you don't need to know it all or necessarily have it all together. You can serve at church. You can serve every day. You can serve your spouse, your kids, your neighbors. Serving is just about your heart. And our hearts as Christians should be focused on others and not ourselves. Now, it's human nature, and we have to, look out for ourselves and our need, our responsibilities, etc. But really, ultimately, the big picture of life, we're thinking about others. What's best for the church? What's best for the lost? What's best for my brother, for my sister? Philippians 2 tells us what? I'll just read it off here. It says, "Don't be selfish, but be humble, and think of others better than yourselves. Each of you," that's us, this letter's written to the church, "should not only look out for yourselves, but also for the interest of others." Truly, this is how we should be living our lives. Truly. Just imagine. If everybody that comes to this church would go out every day and just look to be kind, to think of others first, to give grace on a consistent basis. Guys, if you do the math, it's like 6% of the population of Hoopston that this is our church. Think we could make an impact? I'm not saying we're not, but I'm saying every one of us has this call from Christ, if we love him, to serve. So our message today is entitled "Get Up From the Table," and we'll get into that more in just one moment. But I want to encourage and challenge you. Do you guys know how people in your life that are around you, workplace, family, just you name anybody in your realm, do you want to know how people in your life will ever experience Jesus? The only way they'll experience Jesus is through you. You're how they will experience. Well, through me. Oh, come on. Yeah. Do you have his Holy Spirit? Has he called you to be his light? Has he called you to be peculiar? Are we the church, his body? Are we his people to take him out into the world and into our worlds? Through you. Through being the light and the salt and serving and loving and being extraordinary. And I have a flip side to that. Do you want to know why people, how they could possibly not experience Jesus and have that experience? Because they don't experience him through you and through me. It's a big response. His grace is free. He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're flawed and fallible, but we're also called to go out into the world and to be Jesus to our world. It's a big deal. It's a wonderful thing. It's a privilege. It's a joy. And one day we'll be in heaven. It'll be great. But for right now, we've got a job to do. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to go back from John to Luke chapter 22. And here's what's going on here. This is right before the biggest event in all of human history happens, okay? This is, we would call it the Lord's Supper. This is Jesus with his disciples, and they're sitting around a big table, which is much bigger than this, and it probably wasn't white plastic either. But it was a big table, and Jesus was there, and they were all around the table. And Jesus is preparing his disciples for what's getting ready to happen, which, again, is kind of a big deal. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die for our sins, raise again. It's wonderful. And he's then giving them some instructions here, if you will, and start in verse 24. It says, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest." Now this is just human nature, right? I mean, hey, Jesus, we want to be, if you're going away or when you're gone or right now, we just, new kingdom and all this stuff. Yeah, who's going to be in charge? I want to be the VP and I want to be the guys. They were just human. I mean, they were different because they were following Jesus. But then Jesus kind of checks them and sets them straight. Verses 25 and 26, he says, "The kings of the Gentiles," or the world, the people, "exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors." Now, you guys ever know anybody who's been on a power trip? You ever know somebody who likes being in charge? Maybe it was, could have been a boss or a teacher, could have been even, sometimes you feel like your kids, your parents are that way, but most of the time we know what we're doing. But you guys know that. People, they lord that authority over them. And Jesus goes on to say, "But not so among you," like us as Christians, as his followers. "On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs is he who serves." And Jesus is saying, guys, as my people, you're supposed to be different. Now, this idea was weird back then because kings were like kings. You know, we're talking president on steroids, okay? They were the kings. And really all throughout human history, including now, really, guys, that's just our nature is that. What does the world tell us now? Do whatever you want. It's your life. You're in charge. You don't have to listen. Be happy. There's no right or wrong or truth. You just do whatever you want. It's your life. Well, the thing about that is, and I'll just pick on two huge lies and expressions that we hear all the time. Number one is, you got to do what makes you happy. And number two is, and you've heard this one before here, which you'll hear it again. Number two is, follow your heart. You got to do whatever makes you happy. Follow your heart. Not if you're Christian, not if you're a follower of Jesus, not if we're his people, not if we love him. Let me change those two expressions. You got to do whatever makes you happy as long as it lines up with and is okay based on the Word of God. And number two, follow your heart. I'll just change altogether to follow Jesus. Follow Christ. Don't follow your heart. Remember what the Bible says is the most lying, deceptive thing in all the universe is what? Is our heart. Not mine. Yeah, yours. Mine. Aren't we good at talking ourselves into anything, rationalizing anything? We're so good at it. Oh, and it's so destructive so often. So sometimes it's okay to follow your heart, but if your heart's telling you to do something that the Word of God says don't, then don't. Just don't. You got to do what makes you happy as long as it lines up with the Word of God, who just told us to think of others ahead of ourselves. Do you guys want to know a little secret? And I'm not some master at this. I'm not, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi or whatever. But when you think of others first and you serve, it's rewarding. You're a pastor. No, it is for all of us. It was before I was a pastor. If I'm retired someday, just trying to put others first. And if you're married, try that in your marriage. That'll work out well. Well, yeah, but he, she, I don't care if they deserve it, if they do it, if they don't. If you're here and you're a Christian, treat your spouse that way. It's good stuff. It's not easy, but it's good. So we're supposed to think of others first. It's not about whatever makes us happy. It's about following Jesus. And he goes on to say now in verse 27, for who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. This is God in a bod, God in the flesh. This is Jesus talking about serving. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I bet a lot of you are going out to eat today after service. My kids beg every Sunday, we want to go here, we want to go here. You know, we do sometimes. I like to eat out. I like to eat in general. But you're going to, probably a lot of you, go out to eat today. And when you are, what are you going to get, hopefully? Good service, right? You know you want good service, because if not, listen, let's never be those church people complaining, my drink's been empty for 40 seconds, and this food, medium rare, is kind of more medium. Don't do that. Just be thankful and eat. It's all good. But you expect good service, right? And if you don't get good service, if your drink sets empty for 5 minutes, that's like the end of the world, right? I am an impatient person, if you didn't know that a little bit. And so those poor gals at the Chinese buffet never get me my fortune cookie before I'm up at the register. Because when I'm done eating, I'm ready to go. And that's not bad service. That's just me being in a hurry and impatient. But you expect good service, right? And if you don't get good service, you're going to put it on Facebook, right? I'm so glad I'm not on Facebook anymore and don't see you guys complain about McDonald's gave you the wrong sandwich. Stop complaining. Come on. I wanted a McChicken. I got a McDouble. It's all right. I'll eat it. But you want good service. And if you don't get good service, you're disappointed. And what happens if you go to a place and you consistently get poor service? What are you going to do? You're going to stop going there, right? You're not going to go back. So guys, let me ask you something. Is the world getting good service from us? Are the people in your life, you, the Christian that they know, are they getting good service from you? Because if they're consistently not, they're probably not going to want to come to church or hear about Jesus or be a Christian. Because if they look at us and we're like, I'm getting bad service, I don't want anything to do with that. What about if they're getting no service at all? What about if we're the Christian who's unwilling to serve, which is oxymoron the right phrase? That doesn't go together. A Christian who's unwilling to serve is, are we really, am I a Christian if I'm not willing to serve? Probably not. It's not about me, it's about others. And so We have to ask ourselves, what's the world getting from us? Because you're not going to keep going to the place where you get bad service. You expect it. And our Lord expects us to serve. You guys want to grow, experience abundance, and really be blessed? And I'm not certainly just, here we go, abundance or blessings. No, the Bible ties obedience with blessings. You want to experience fullness. You want to see the church grow. You want to see our youth program take off, etc. Get to serving. Now, maybe a lot of you, I'm sure I know you are, but the need will be here. And the thing I always like to think about is we're here to serve Christ. And if we're the Christian who's unwilling to serve, here's what I would do if I were God. I'd just call you on home. May as well come on to heaven. Really, because why be here? If we're not willing to serve, he may as well just call us home, right? It's kind of scary. But we're here to serve. And guys, you'll be amazed at the doors God will open and the things that he will do and the blessings you'll receive when you serve. Just that abundance, that satisfaction. If I've told this story before, and as opposed to giving one of my long, boring stories, I'll keep it really brief. But when 8 years ago, called into the ministry, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to be a pastor now." Great. And I was still running a business I own, but Carl and I were part of a church, and I went to church. I was always there Sunday and Wednesday, but I didn't do a whole lot because I'm going to be a pastor. So I'm just waiting around for God to call me into the ministry. Well, without getting into the details, he had to really break me and check my attitude about, what do you think you're doing? Every follower of mine is called to serve, and really especially pastors. So, buddy boy, you better get to having a servant's heart or you're not going anywhere. And then I did, and then he did. So guys, God will open doors. For your own good, you need to be a servant. You'll be amazed at the blessings and the goodness God will give when you have a servant's heart. But yet so often, so much holds us back from serving. And that's why the table's here. Here we in the middle, we have the person. And our message today is entitled, Get Up From The Table. And so often, we don't want to get up from the table. We're just comfortable. I'm comfortable in this chair. You know, I'm just going to sit here, and I know that God's calling me to serve, but here, you do it, or Pastor Bill, or whoever, and the table's safe, and it's comfortable, and I think there's lots of stuff that holds us back from serving, but I'm going to kind of identify two main ones today that I believe hold us back from serving, and in seat number one here, when we're stuck at the table as God's people, is priorities. I think if we're honest with ourselves when it comes to life, we kind of do what we want to do, don't we? And if we don't want to do it as a general rule, I'll pass. You got to ask yourself, what priorities in your life are keeping you from being plugged into the vine, plugged into Christ, to serving him and his church and people? Now, the first one we say priorities would be our schedule, be busyness. Guys, we're all busy, but what are our priorities? I mean, I know a lot of servants, they're incredibly busy, but they just serve. Their answer is yes, they love, they serve. What about the priority of our commitments? Maybe a lack of commitment. Maybe a lack of commitment, because with commitment brings responsibility and accountability. And we tend to not like that. I'm afraid if I offer to serve in some area, then I'm stuck. What if I don't want to come to church Sunday? What if I want to A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and all these things? But as Christians, that our heart should be thinking of others first, thinking of the church first. And when you decide and we decide to get up from that seat and serve the Lord, we're not serving man, even though we'll be serving men and women. We're serving our Lord. We're serving Jesus. What about selfishness? Now, hold on. I think we're all as humans inherently a little selfish. Let's be honest. Come on. We keep it real here at the Church of God, as the kids would say. We're all a little selfish. And God understands that. But there's a difference in a little selfish in human nature versus selfish to the point where I'm not going to obey Jesus, my Lord, and feed his sheep. And especially thinking about the fact that us as Christians, we're supposed to be new, being remade, becoming more like Christ, more like our Lord, more in his image. And that fullness we come into will never fully happen until he returns, but we're supposed to be coming into it now. And that will always mean serving. Our Lord requires us to be servants. Busyness. We're all busy. What about ownership of the church? Listen, you don't come here. You don't just come here. If you're a Christian, a believer, and you come here, this is your church and you got to own it. It's not mine. It's not Bill. It's not pastors. Come and go. We're all part of the church. This is us. So many stories I've heard over the church has been here 103 years and of people's faithfulness, which is why we can be here today. And it's our faithfulness. It's our, and those early risers at First Service, it's our faithfulness that will ensure that 5 and 10 and 100 years from now, there will be God's people. There will be people coming to Christ. There will be the church. If we have the right priorities and we're servants. You're the church. Me, you, you. Not the sign, not the building, again, not the pastors. What's Ephesians 4:16 tells us? The whole body of Christ, all of Jesus' people, the Lord right now in the world, we're joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, which causes growth and edifying in love. You guys, you know, when you think about your human, your body, if something's not working right, things aren't working as they should. If I have a broken leg, I can't walk. If I'm, I could go on all day, and these bodies are temporary, we'll have new ones someday, praise God. But for now, it takes a little bit of everything for things to work as they should. And it talks about the church growing and edifying itself in love. There's two things I've always thought were funny is, and there are exceptions on the fringes, but as a general rule, I think it's really funny when a pastor gets credit for the church growing. I mean, seriously, I'm one person out of hundreds. And I also think it's funny when a church doesn't grow, the pastor gets the blame. The Bible's very clear. It's all of us working together doing our part. Yeah. That's just what the Bible says. It takes all of us to be impacting our community and our world and those in our life for Christ. We have to have the right priorities. We got to get up from the table and serve. Just do it. And the second big thing I think that keeps us from serving like we should is probably fear. I think there's a lot of people throughout time and unfortunately now and going forward who won't be in heaven because they live their lives in fear. They wouldn't give their heart to Christ because something might change in their life. They wouldn't give up that sin or that inappropriate relationship, or I could go on all day. They wouldn't obey because of fear. Well, just, you know, life's all right. I'm good. And I think us as Christians, when we are afraid, which is, I don't know how legitimate it is, when we're afraid to serve, the enemy's winning the spiritual battle. I'm to this or not this, or I'm not good enough, or I'm, no, he just calls you, he equips you, okay? You can serve. So when we just decide to stay at the table instead of getting up, then nothing happens. Fear is a huge tool of the enemy. All you have to do is be willing. When the enemy speaks to you, and some of you, it's been going through your head since this sermon started, or at least right now, well, this is great, but, someone else, not me, already did, don't like that person, don't know what to do, don't know how, don't like the pastor, don't like the message, I don't know. When the enemy speaks, hey, the church doesn't need you. They don't need you. It's the pastor's job. Someone else can do it. You're not needed. When the enemy speaks that lie, you say to him and say, you're right, they don't need me, but my Lord needs me. Jesus, my Lord, needs me. He needs me to serve. And say, you know what? I need to serve for the blessing, for the satisfaction, for the opportunity to grow, to be blessed, to experience the fullness in Christ that the Bible talks about. I need to get up from this table and get going and be willing to serve. Another fear is, you know, we have is I don't really have any skills. I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. And when I said this at First Service, nobody really reacted except Pastor Dan laughed really hard out loud. Is I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. I don't really have a great amount of skills. I'm not the smartest, the brightest, the best looking. I could go on all day. Thank you this time for refraining yourself. I don't know. But I praise God by his grace, nothing to do with me that this would have been about 7 years ago after I was already called to ministry. He wrote me and said, you just serve, buddy boy. Just do it the rest of your life and I'll take care of everything else. I'll provide, I'll do everything. And he always has and always will. And it's the same for you, but you just have to be willing to serve. You just have to be willing. Do you love Jesus? Then feed his sheep. Do you love him? Then serve. Do you love him? Then feed his sheep. I have one. If you're taking notes today, you can have this one. This is, listen to this. If your faith is built, your foundation, your life, I'm assuming it is if you're a Christian, you're here in church on Sunday morning. If your faith is built on a man named Jesus who came to earth to serve, shouldn't you serve? your faith is built on Jesus, who came to earth to serve, shouldn't you serve? Dan, we're going to shut it down in just a moment for today. But here's the deal. There's needs coming up. There's stuff that we want to do. And I've not been a good enough leader as I could have been, because there's things that the church needs to be doing. And it's kind of like, well, I'm not real sure who and how and what. But all we really need is people who are willing to serve. There's so much coming up and so much we want to do. Do you love him? Then feed his sheep, which means serve. And if you already are and you're doing a bunch and you're plugged in and whatever, that's fine. In just one moment, you don't need to do anything. But for the rest of us here today, if you love him, I just need to know you're willing to serve. I'm not going to call you today. I'm not going to call you probably tomorrow. And hey, can you join four committees? We don't do that. But I'm going to say I need to know, but your Lord needs to know that you love him and you're willing to serve. So middle section. Every aisle right up here, there's a yellow notepad. Go ahead and grab it. And if you're willing to serve, if you love him and you're willing to serve and you're not already doing that, just put your name and a good contact to get a hold of you. I'm not going to give it out. This is coming straight to just me. You're not doing anything today. You're not committing to anything, but other than you love Jesus and you're willing to feed his sheep. You're willing to serve. Side aisles, you've got the notepads as well. Just pass them around a little bit. The ushers will get them in a few moments. In just a few moments. I just need to know, and forget even I, and forget me needing to know. Your Lord just needs to know that you love him and you're willing to serve. Because guys, just imagine every part of the church, everyone serving, being willing to serve. There's going to be opportunities coming up. What that will mean to our church, to our community, and your lives and families with our young and old and in between. When God's people say, I don't just say I'm a Christian, I don't just say I'm a believer, I love Jesus. And he says, if I love him, feed his sheep. Be a servant. Would you guys stand today as we pass those around and as we sing?